Hey man, always enjoy. I was going to stop him if he didn't sing that last song. I love that at the top of the hill. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Read it, two or three verses. And Ephesians chapter 6. It's a great to see the Flanagans as they remain faithful over the years. And I tell you what, the Lord requires faithfulness. And it's faithfulness that He's going to reward someday. And we need to stay by the stuff. Don't quit. There's no room for quitting in the ministry. Amen. And whatever ministry that may be for us. And what encouraging it is to see the Flanagans this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you, God, for all you've done for us and sending your Son to die on the cross for us, that we might have eternal life. We thank you for some commandments that you laid down for us that are there for our good. Lord, that we thank you for the precious promise you've attached to this particular law. And Lord, we do pray this morning that we, as well as our children, would be mindful and obedient to our parents and honor them all their lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. And again, in the Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, the Bible says that honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And again, Ephesians, it tells you that this is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments with promise. And also, it gives a promise there that that it might be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Again, this is the only one of the Ten Commandments that contains a promise. As we think about Mother's Day, as we think about Father's Day, we think of the message that is given in both of these passages, and that is to honor our father and our mother. There in the Old Testament, there were 613 laws actually given. And I've repeated this many times before the crowd this morning. We'll give it again. Review is the best teacher. The Bible gives us 10 commandments, of course, given there by Moses, by God to Moses, there on Mount Sinai. The Bible says when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they crossed over the Red Sea, they came to Mount Sinai, and there the Lord was there on top of that mountain. Moses went up to the top of the mountain, and there he received 10 commandments. And I think it's important to point out, too, that that mountain was quaking, it was trembling, there was dark clouds above it, there was thundering, there was lightning. And the Bible says that when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, it wasn't just Moses that heard those commandments, it was all the children of Israel around that mountain heard those commandments thundering out. And he said, "Thou shalt not steal." And they all heard it. The Bible says in Psalms that it sounded as the voice of many trumpets. But they heard those commandments ring out from the top of Mount Sinai. Moses came down, of course, with those Ten Commandments and gave those to the children of Israel. We know that the first of the tablets was broken, but went back up and received them again. Also, with those commandments there on top of the mountain, Moses also received what we call the civil law, which is, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that type of law. And then also the ceremonial law, which governed the tabernacle and the worshiping of the children of Israel. And so out of those laws, the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, the civil law, which is how to judge day-to-day civil problems and so forth, and then also the ceremonial law, which dealt with how to make the sacrifices, how to prepare for the sacrifices, how to prepare the priests, and on and on and on. There are 613 laws in the Old Testament. So there's a threefold presentation of the law in the Old Testament. Now, the Ten Commandments are divided in two parts as well. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. The last six of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with our fellow man. Everybody with me? So, number five in the list, which is in the middle, is the law in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. That is to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. If you would this morning, this law was given to the children but understanding that it was given to the parents as well. That's why over in Ephesians it says that fathers should not provoke the children to wrath. And so the New Testament gives us further insight into this particular law. Parents, fathers, and mothers this morning, realizing this morning that we represent God to our children. Mothers this morning, dads, we represent God to our children. I'm going to cover this more in just a moment. We represent the parent and child relationship. All right? So now I'm a child of God. I was saved at the age of 6 years old. Now I'm a child of God. How do I connect? How do I understand my relationship with God? I understand it as a parent and a child relationship. Based upon how I was raised and how I view my relationship with my parents and myself. Everybody see that, right? I'm going to cover this again in a moment. Parents, we have the responsibility over our children to be an example. Because the relationship that that child and that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to really be influenced by the relationship that we have with our children and their relationship with us. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is a direct, personal command from God. Amen, teenagers? Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother. Direct, personal command. In fact, Jesus Christ, in Mark chapter 7, he backs this commandment up by repeating it. He says, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death." So, Jesus, again, as I said Wednesday night, just loves pointing out where they were being hypocritical. And, the Jews, the Bible says, if your child rebels, if he turns his back on father and mother as a kid, in the Old Testament, he was or she was to be put to death. Woo! Man, that'd be a lot of killing going on, wouldn't there? In today's age, right? I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but over there in Timothy, where the Bible says in the last days perilous times shall come, one of the signs of the end times is that children will be disobedient to parents. Man, we see that today. It's amazing to me how even in my lifetime, which has been short, that we see the decline, if you would, of the children being obedient and honoring their father and the mother. I cringe when a child talks back to their mom or dad. I could have never done that when I was a kid. Not at all. My dad would have applied the Board of Education to the seat of understanding every time. And he did. I was a hyperactive kid. I got whipped every day till I was 12. I'm so thankful for my dad being loving and gracious and kind and not putting me on Ritalin, but having his own, he called it that. He said, go get the hyper medicine. That meant go get the bell. And he was very patient. And y'all know, y'all heard me talk about my dad. I know we got visitors here this morning, so I always like to clarify. My dad was right on in the way he disciplined me. Right on. He did it very lovingly, kindly, never beat me, but just was very patient with me. And with an ADD child, I mean, that's the way you got to be, right? But I just never would have. I didn't talk back to my mom. And when I did, when it happened on very few occasions, there was repercussions, right? Repercussions. And, if I would have been like some kid and threw myself down on the floor, I just don't know if I would have lived. I'm not sure if I would have. And I know we laugh, but listen, it makes me cringe when I'm at a grocery store, I don't hardly go to the grocery store, but when I have to, when I'm at a restaurant and I see kids up walking around, and the parents said, sit down, little Johnny. Sit down, little Johnny. Go take little Johnny to the restroom. Apply the Board of Education seat of a standing. He'll start minding you. Instead of listening to Spock and some psychologists who don't know a clue what they're doing. Let me again clarify. I believe the Bible teaches corporal punishment. I believe it. I believe if you apply it lovingly, kindly, graciously, in the proper spot. Amen? That is not beating a child. That is disciplining a child. The Bible says in Proverbs, if you don't discipline your child, you hate your child. And that applying the rod to the seat of understanding will save your child from hell. It's what the Bible says. I'm quoting from Proverbs. You say, well, Proverbs is an outdated book. No, it's not. The Bible says it's the book of wisdom. That's where we get the ability to apply knowledge and understanding of how to live and how to do right. And so, I'm getting way off basis here, and some of you have already turned me off. But listen, we understand in the last days that we'll see this happening, and we do see it happening. Some of you have seen it more so than me because you've lived a little longer, but it's amazing to me. Listen, parents, the relationship that you have with your children is a representation, an illustration, and picture for that child of the relationship that that child will have one day, Lord willing, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must see that. It affects that relationship. This commandment puts father and mother alongside of each other. Notice it says, honor thy father, and then it says, and thy mother. A lot of times we have a tendency, or at least some ladies think that God puts the wife down here and the man up here. No, they're equal. Amen? The Bible makes that absolutely clear. Equal but different. Amen? Man is a superior at being a man. A woman is superior at being a woman. Right? Amen? Equal but different. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord they're different. Amen? Woohoo! All right. Parents should honor each other and be an example to that with their kids. Me, just to beg you, parents, don't fight in front of your kids. Honor each other. Lift each other up in front of your kids. If you're going to tear each other down, close the bedroom door and tear each other down in front of each other, just between you and your wife. Amen? Right? Take care of those things. If you want your kids to honor you, you need to honor each other. Your kids will honor you, again, when you honor each other. There's some divine responsibilities, and that is that we ought to honor our parents. A direct command. We honor the flag. When the American flag comes by, we take our hat off, we honor the flag, and so the Bible uses that certain word to honor our parents. We swell with pride when the flag is unfurled. We swell with pride at the Pledge of Allegiance and so forth. And so we should swell with pride concerning our parents and honoring them daily. Not just on Father's Day, not just on Mother's Day, but all the time. By the way, that's not just when we feel like it either. Hello, teenagers. Not just when you feel like it. Well, you know, don't know happen. No, it's all the time. You honor your parents. We must honor our parents. Mothers, again this morning, Mother's Day, you are a tremendous influence upon your kids. Tremendous influence upon your kids. In fact, most of the time, especially with your boys, you'll think that they're daddy's boys, and they may be, but you'll have a greater impact on them in more ways than one than that dad will ever have on them boys. And husbands, let me remind you, you'll have a greater impact than you think on your daughter. It just seems to be that way. It's amazing. And let me tell you, that influence needs to be a proper influence and understanding that our influence is on our kids is going to affect their relationship with God. That's the thing I want you to see this morning. That your relationship with your children and their relationship with you is going to affect their relationship with God. Honor not only speaks of pride, but honor also implies obedience, and that Jesus honored His mother in being obedient to her. And also honoring her at the end of His life when He said to the disciple whom He loved, which was John, "Behold thy mother," there at the cross. Even on the cross, He was thinking about His mom and honoring His mom, making sure His mother was going to be taken care of. Amen? Amen. We should honor our parents. I tell you what, as I think about honoring our parents, there's always that question at the end of, towards the end of life and taking care of parents who can no longer take care of themselves. And let me just tell you, don't be one of those guys who sticks them off somewhere and just runs the other way. Honor your parents. You say, well, you don't know what my parents did to me. The Bible doesn't say if your parents were good, then honor them. It doesn't say that. It says honor your parents. Amen? I'm not saying that physically they don't come to a point where you've got to put them somewhere and there comes that point when that has to take place. But listen, I'm so thankful I grew up in a family, on my dad's side especially, that took care of the parents. My papa who I talk about a lot, who passed away here 3 or 4 years ago. My papa left a very good paying job as the regional manager of the state of Kansas for the largest independent oil company in the world. He left that job to come back to Oklahoma and take care of my great-grandparents and take the lowest paying job that that oil company offered, which was strapping tanks. The big tank batteries you see out here, it was putting numbers on those, painting numbers on tanks. That was his job. He went from being a regional manager of the state of Oklahoma to painting letters on tank batteries. Why? Because he honored his parents. He honored his parents. Job wasn't worth it to him. Didn't take him very long. God blessed him. He went back up in the company in Oklahoma. They weren't going to let a guy with that kind of smart sit around and paint letters on tank batteries. But he honored his parents. By the way, that had an influence on his grandchild. I'll never forget that. Never forget the story. My papa had that kind of honor towards my great-grandpa and great-grandma. Listen, we're to honor our parents. We're to obey them every day, not just when we feel like it. We also, not only that, do we have a divine responsibility to obey, but we have a divine representation. I know I'm repeating myself some here, but I want you to get this morning. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. This is, again, the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment. Parents and fathers and mothers this morning, we represent God to our children. In other words, when they're small, you're representing what they will have, the future relationship they will have, Lord willing, with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right? So, with your children, you are establishing authority with your children and how they will view authority. And listen to me closely. When a child disobeys and rebels against you and throws himself on the floor, whether they're 2, 4, 5, 7, or 8, and you do not take responsibility upon that child and teach that child what he's doing is wrong and represent authority in the right way in making them mind, then their authority or their understanding of authority becomes skewed. It becomes skewed. I'm telling you, we have this all over America today. We have parents whose children will come home from public school system and they will say something about the teacher. Parents say, the teacher did this to me, the teacher said this to me. And instead of that parent backing up the public school teacher, that parent goes and gripes the public school teacher out. Takes the word of a child over an adult. Skewing their understanding of authority. Amen. I know there's some bad apples out there, but you can't skew your whole child's understanding of authority about one bad apple. No, you back the adult up until you know absolutely, without a doubt, that that was wrong. And then, even then, I would take it up with the adult and not the kid. I would tell that kid, "Hey, she's your teacher. You may not respect her, but you respect her authority." Amen. Amen. Parent, you are directing their authority. Woo, 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 woo. They get pulled over by a policeman. Alright? How you have, you know, affected their understanding of authority is how they'll react when they get pulled over by a policeman. Amen. Policeman comes to the door, knocks on the window, roll the window down. Does the kid smart off to the cop? Or does the kid say, "What do you want, sir? What can I do?" You laugh. I've been out with my brother-in-law who's a policeman. I've been out with sheriffs. It's amazing how many of these young punks, wannabe punks, with their little hats turned over to the side and backwards, pants hanging down to the ground, punks, who will, that's a good word, disrespect a policeman. "Oh, but you don't know how he acted to me." Listen, I've been pulled over by a couple of policemen that I feel that they were in the wrong. I'm not even talking about I was wrong for what I did, but they were wrong in the way they treated me. What did I do? I didn't get up in their face and say, "You're doing this to me, buddy." No, you respect the position. That person has authority over you. And we could turn to a lot of New Testament verses. Talk about authority. Obey those that have the rule over you. Authority. Amen, teenagers? You don't publicly dishonor or disrespect an authority over you. Amen. Ever. Amen. You respect that authority. Parents are just, again, mom and dads, I know I'm really pushing this point, but I want to drive it home. I'm not the best at this either. We all have to work on it. But let's understand that how my child is going to view his relationship with God is a lot based upon the way he she understands authority. And that authority is established when they're children by the parent. Boy, let us be vigilant about it. Listen, when they're 2 and 3 years old, discipline them. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Again, I'm going to reference psychologists, but most of psychologists and things, guys tell us who study the brain of children, that it's really between the ages of 0 to 6 years that most of that development takes place. It's really that time in which you need to develop that authority in their life. It's like working with any, and I don't want to use the word animal, but working with an animal, and you're working with this little child, and you're trying to develop in him the proper understanding of authority, and you're disciplining them lovingly and kindly. It's like growing a tomato plant. You put the little cage over the tomato plant to keep that tomato plant from just falling everywhere. You're trying to grow it in a certain position. By the way, which takes work. You got to weed it and feed it and all that stuff we do to kids, right? Boy, it takes work. It takes more work to discipline a child and do so consistently than it does just to let them do whatever they want to. A lot of parents are too lazy, really, to be honest. Boy, we've got to be vigilant about it. So, preacher, oh, you're making a big deal out of nothing. Well, number one, I just love well-behaved kids. Isn't that awesome? Number two, when the Holy Spirit knocks at that child's door, and some preacher's up there preaching, and they hear that conviction, they feel that conviction from the Lord, and the Lord says, "You need to get saved." If their authority and their ability to understand authority has been trained right, I believe they will, more so than others who've been skewed, will submit to that authority. Amen? Amen. When the preacher's up preaching and he's yelling and he's foaming at the mouth and he's talking about, "You ought to read your Bible, you ought to," and just all the other stuff that I normally do from here, the child, as he grows old, and that child as she grows up, will respect the commandments of God because they respected your commandments. All based upon their understanding of authority. We must understand that we represent the relationship that God has with His children. We represent that relationship. We illustrate that relationship for our children. Parents, we have a responsibility of being that example to our kids. Parents' responsibility. By the way, it's not the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. We're only here to help. It's your responsibility to evangelize your child. Let me just tell you this morning that the Lord loves you this morning. That He desires a personal relationship with you. And maybe in your upbringing, your understanding of authority has been skewed. Listen, you can stop that trend. You can stop that cycle in your own life by submitting to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible says, "And death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Listen, we are under the authority of God. The Bible says that we will submit to Him, believing and trusting in Him, asking for forgiveness of our sins, see our shortcomings before Him, and believe that He lived, died, and rose again, that He'll save us from our sins, that He'll give us a home in heaven, and give us eternal life. You say, preacher, I understand. Maybe there's a God out there. Maybe this and that. Listen, possibly your authority and your understanding of authority has been skewed by your upbringing. Jesus said Himself, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. Emphatically, He didn't say, I'm the best way, I'm kind of the way. He says, I am the way. He's the only way. And no matter what you may think in this politically correct society that we live in, and no matter what you may think in this pluralistic society we live in, there's only one way to escape hell and have a home in heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen this morning, parents, there's a great reward if we'll train our children right. There's a reward for us for honoring our parents. It says that it might be well with thee and that you might have long life. Notice Ephesians adds that it might be well with thee. I think that's talking about right here and now. That your life will be a little smoother when you honor your parents and do what's right. When you honor your parents. If our children are to live long and enjoy what this commandment promises, they must have parents who will carry out the purposes of God. And parents whom they can obey, and parents will demand obedience. Well, we must have both. That little verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, where it says, provoke not your children to wrath. So that's what happens when parents don't live that example. And the child feels like they can't honor you or me because you're living a hypocritical life. But when you live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, not just on Sundays, but all week long, and you love your child and you play baseball with your child and you take care of your child and you feed that child, you clothe that child, you put a roof over the head of that child, you love that child. Love is spelled T-I-M-E with a child, by the way. I mean, I think we ought to speak it to them. I think fathers, this is an area we have to work on. I love you. I love you. We need to say it every once in a while, but we need to back it up with our actions. See, my dad's discipline, the Board of Education, the Seat of Understanding, will not work, would not have worked, had he not showed that he loved me. But he spent time with me. He loved me. Boy, when you get all that just right, good things happen. You say, well, how do I get all that just right, preacher? I don't know how. The Lord. None of us are perfect, right? We're not trying to say this morning that you can have the Cleaver family. There is no such thing as the Cleaver family. All right? There's actually children who act like Beaver, but that was probably me. But I'm saying the Lord will give you wisdom and strength to raise your children. Rely upon the Word of God and not upon some psychologist. Amen? Raise your children according to this. Keep them in the book. Keep them in the Word. Keep them in church. Raise them. Train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. I again want to repeat to you, children are a blessing from the Lord. And they ought to be a blessing. If they're not a blessing, you're not doing something right. If they're not a blessing, you're not doing something right. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, what am I not doing right? What do I need to do? Seek out some wisdom from some of the men in here and some of the women in here who you've seen them raise their children, and their children now are raised and very productive, good Christian young couples. Isn't it a blessing to see that? Maybe some wisdom could come from them if you just walk up and ask them. I guarantee you they'd sit down with you and help you. Well, you can have a family that is enjoyable. Understand that life was meant to be enjoyed and family was meant to be enjoyed. It takes work, love, and a relationship with the Lord. There's so much here. We must desire this kind of relationship with our children, and children, again, must obey the Lord in honoring their parents. To enjoy the rich heritage of His grace, we must walk in obedience both to Him and toward the representatives which He's given us, which is our parents. We must again treat and love each other as we'd want to be treated and love each other, right? Amen. I'd even say that with your kids. You know, that particular law tells us to love each other as we want to be loved, treat each other as we want to be treated. Maybe we ought to apply that with our kids as well. It might help. Amen? Amen. We have a divine responsibility as parents. We have a divine representation as parents. So we are representing our relationship. Our relationship with our children is representing to them their relationship with God. And there's a reward for raising our children in the way God intended for us to do. And that is that their life will be better now, as well as they'll have long life. Let's all stand. We'll have a verse of invitation.